Our scripture today is taken from Luke 7, 36 through 50. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and took his place at the table. And a woman in the city who was a sinner, having learned that he was eating in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster jar of ointment. She stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with her tears and to dry them with her hair. Then she continued kissing his feet and anointing them with the ointment. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw it, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what kind of woman this is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." And Jesus spoke up and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." "Teacher," he replied, "speak." "A certain creditor had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debts for both of them. Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon answered, "I suppose the one for whom he canceled the greater debt." And Jesus said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning towards the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has bathed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which were many, have been forgiven, since she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." But those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." This is the word of God for the people of God. We all love it, don't we, when someone shows us warm hospitality? Have you ever stopped by someone's home, maybe to drop something off, and they said, "Can you come in for a minute? I've just made a hot pot of coffee, and I've just baked some fresh pumpkin cookies." And you thought, "Well, I guess I can spare 5 minutes or so." And you sat down and you slowed down the hectic pace of life as you sipped the coffee and tasted the cookies. And you started to relax and to be thankful for that day. And your host began to ask you how you were and what kind of things were happening in your life. And you found yourself sharing your heart, and it was healing and encouraging at the same time. Hospitality makes us feel loved. And there is no greater example of hospitality, friends, than the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. Everything he did welcomed others to have intimate fellowship with himself and with God his Father. I mean, think about how he prepared the food for the disciples in the upper room. He didn't have coffee. Cookies. Actually, I don't know when they invented coffee. Would somebody look that up? I don't know when they invented coffee or when they first started having it. But he laid out a whole meal for them. And during the meal, he said, "Drink of this cup." And he said, "Eat of this bread." And while he conversed with them, and he told them of his love, and Jesus showed them hospitality. And he did this all the time as he fed the thousands fish and loaves, as he cooked breakfast for the disciples by the sea, and as he provided wine at the wedding for hundreds. Our God is a welcoming, hospitable God. But Jesus' hospitality was not just meant to feed hungry hearts. It was meant to meet the needs of, not just feed hungry mouths, but meant to meet the needs of the heart. John 6:35 says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Jesus wants to satisfy our hungry hearts and our thirsting souls with his presence. Jesus Christ loves us, and he wants to be in fellowship with us But you know, sometimes this is hard for us to grasp. We look sometimes at the messes in our lives and we think, how in the world can God love and accept me? We often feel unworthy, all of us. The author Robert Schneezy, in Five Fruitful Practices, which many are reading, you're going to be studying, says this: we have to accept the fact that we are accepted and loved by God. How many of you have received a package at the door lately and you didn't know who sent it? Raise your hand. Oh, you know all the packages. Okay. Well, sometimes packages come to our door, and the Landis family uses the United States Postal Service and Amazon far too often. But sometimes our kids will send us a gift, and we don't know what it is. And it's a surprise. And God's love for us through Jesus Christ is like a gift that's been packaged and sent to our door. But in order for us to experience it, we've got to open it, and we've got to use it. Who would not open a gift from a family member or friend? In the same way, we must accept God's grace into our hearts. And when we do, receiving God's radical hospitality and love, then we will be able to do it with others. Could somebody say amen? The woman in the story had received Jesus' love and acceptance, but apparently she had done a lot of things that were wrong, and she had a reputation. But she knew of Christ's love, and out of acceptance, and out of that appreciation, she wiped his feet and anointed his head with oil. Now, Luke does not mention the head, but the other Gospels do. Now, this oil was very costly. Some estimate that it was worth $10,000 today. And you got to understand, as this is going on, this is a very challenging. They're feeling that the money is being wasted as she puts this oil on his head and on his feet. But Jesus, on the other hand, understood that it was an anointing of love. And Jesus could look further on down the road, and he knew that these feet would be pierced with nails, and he knew that this head would be pierced with thorns. And somehow God was saying, your sacrifice is precious. And that woman realized it too. The woman showed extravagant love for Jesus because he had shown extravagant love for her. 1 John says, we love because he first loved us. And so as we experience that love, we receive Christ's hospitality, then we can share it with others. I want to unpack this story a little bit more with you. Jesus was, again, the guest of the Pharisee, but the host did not show hospitality. This woman, on the other hand, was an outsider, and she loved him and showed radical hospitality. But the guests, I'm sure, in addition to Simon, were offended. And they said, if he was a real prophet, he would know who this woman is and what she's about. But they missed the point that God graciously forgives anyone who will receive it. Now, we judge this Pharisee, don't we? But we need to ask ourselves, do we not also judge others? You know, there is a difference between seeing a wrong and saying, oh my, isn't that horrible? There's a difference between that and just treating that person as an outcast forever. We read about someone in the paper who committed a crime, we write them off. Or we hear about a husband or wife that cheats on their spouse, we write them off. Or we see somebody that posts something awful on Twitter, maybe a racist comment or whatever, and they're written off forever. We are very capable at making people feel like outcasts. But not only did Simon judge this woman, but he began to judge Jesus. And I just love, you know, Jesus, you know, the expression is a ball comes your way, you throw the ball back in the other court, right? So Jesus throws the ball back in Simon's court and says, Simon, you didn't wash my feet when I came in. You didn't give me a kiss. You didn't give me a hug. But this woman has not ceased to wash my feet with her tears and oil and to show tears of love and gratitude. Now, you got to understand, this woman with a bad reputation and doing this, this was pretty scandalous in that day. And it would be pretty tough for us to see somebody pouring oil on somebody's feet and tears and wiping someone's feet with their hair. It would be like, I've tried to do foot washing over the last 35 plus years of ministry. And when I mentioned we're going to do foot washing, people just sort of head the other way, you know. I mean, we really have a problem sometimes, I think, showing openness and humility. But what we need to see from this is that the Son of God wants us to be demonstrative from the heart in how we love Him back. Extravagant love given deserves extravagant love returned. Jesus wanted a friendship kiss from Simon. Let me ask you today, can you picture yourself giving Christ a kiss? That intense affection is maybe hard for us to grasp, but Jesus demonstrates how we're to show love, not only here in this story, but in the upper room. Like the woman, then Jesus said, this is what you're supposed to do, guys. Kneels down and washes their feet. And I'm guessing as he washed their feet that they hugged him out of gratitude. We know the Bible says that John was leaning on his chest. And so I want to ask you, can you picture yourself hugging Christ and Him hugging you back? I did this while I was writing this sermon, and I got kind of emotional. I want you to do this. Close your eyes. And I want you to picture Christ right in front of you. And picture reaching out your hands and hugging Him, and Him hugging you back. If we know that that kind of love is there, if we return, you can open your eyes now, we return that kind of love, then we will be able to show others that kind of warmth and hospitality. And I got to tell you, I know we have to be careful, but it wouldn't hurt us if we started hugging a little bit more. And maybe if we showed love by a kiss. Now, you know, I understand. We're not in certain cultures. It's comfortable. Maybe start with your family, you know. Start with your kids or close friends. We don't want to overstep our bounds. But God expects us to show love with physical expression. Have you ever heard somebody say, I need a hug? You know, we all need a hug. And we need to do that. Maybe you're uncomfortable with hugs. Okay, so take somebody's hand and say, I just want to tell you how much you mean to me. You're very important. Whatever our expression is, we've got to work at it. And let me say this. The physical aspect is very important, but our words are very, very important too. And we all have to be very careful that in a moment of frustration, we don't use harsh words and condemning words. If we do that, we don't give grace. And this destroys the relationship with the person and doesn't allow Jesus' love to flow. I want you to ask yourself now this morning, how could you show radical hospitality to others in a more effective way? Maybe we should start with our husband or wife. Pause. Say, dear, I really do love you. I really do appreciate you. If you haven't done that yet today, you can do it right after the service. With your kids, with your grandkids, just pause and say, I really want you to know, I love you. It's a beautiful thing. With your neighbor, you see them outside, walk across the street, say, how are you doing? Been thinking about you. How about people at work? Do you tell them that you appreciate them? Do you show appreciation more than you do whining and complaining? Do you take people out to eat? Do you have folks over for dinner? It's the hospitality. I think as Americans, I think we're not as comfortable maybe with having folks into our home, especially folks we don't know so well. But you know what Jesus said? He said to Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house today. Coming to your house today. Hospitality, part of it is welcoming people into our homes. And of course, Jesus said, when we do it to others, we do it to Him. And then the hospitality we extend, the radical hospitality, is more than just our brothers and sisters in the congregation, more than just our family, more than just our neighbors, more than just our friends. It's got to go beyond. It's got to be an openness to others in the world that we encounter. You remember the story of Abraham? He didn't know who these visitors were, but the biblical command was to show hospitality to the stranger. And so he prepares a meal for them, and he welcomes them. And as he does, he starts to look at these folk and think, whoo-wee, they're pretty royal, they're pretty powerful. And he starts to realize that these are heavenly visitors. And Hebrews says that some shows hospitality to angels without knowing it. And so we are to show hospitality to the stranger. Again, who can you show hospitality to? How can we extend it beyond the boundaries of family and friends? A few weeks ago, 12 of us went out to our neighbors with loaves of bread. That was radical because it was hard to meet people that we didn't know. And what was amazing is as we showed them warmth, almost most of them returned warmth. Yesterday, people went to work in Hintz Park, and that's showing hospitality. Friends, we have hospitality. We invite people through those doors every Sunday, but we also have a meal called Friendship Lunch. And people come, and we welcome them, and we extend our hospitality. Chuck and Denise Link are leading this ministry. But they need your help. I think every one of us here should think about a time when you could help. They're going to have a sign-up sheet in the back. You can see them. In this stewardship season, we need to consider how Christ is calling us to give of our hearts, of our time. And like this lady, of our treasure. I don't know where in the world she got the money to buy that oil. And there's more that we can do. There's a church in Flint a few years ago, Flint Calvary. They had a sign, announcement on something on their sign. It said, if you need a repair in the home, call the office. Can you imagine that? If you need a repair in your home, call our office. Woo! But they helped a lot of people. Saginaw Ames provides free use computers and bikes to people. That's radical. I know that many of you gave sacrificially to the needs of the hurricane recovery. That's radical. Thank you. I'm still thinking and praying about what we can do to help those in Houston or Puerto Rico or Florida and other places. Going to places like that and helping others is radical. Christ expects us to reach out to those whom others neglect, as Anne said so well in her presentation. And here's the last point. We show Jesus love. We show love to Jesus when we offer hospitality to others. Friends, here's what we got to understand. Every human being has a bit of uncertainty about whether they are accepted. We all can feel like we're maybe not accepted in a certain moment. And when we invite people into our lives, it shows that they are accepted and they feel the love of Christ in us. When they see that they are important to us, they will know that they are important to God. And through our love, they will be able to accept Christ's love. The early Methodist movement led by John and Charles Wesley and others exploded because they had these small group meetings called class meetings in people's homes. I'm sure they had refreshments. And it was like everybody could come. And the world had never seen anything like that. It was radical. I think we need to do more of that. And we're having this with our small groups. And people are going to be coming, some to groups here and some into homes for fellowship and love and acceptance. And I hope that these groups will grow and that we'll extend the invitation to others. The Methodist movement grew like crazy, the early movement, because it was radical. And they were willing to do some things that were different. We need to follow their example and to be open to make changes to show hospitality in our ministry. We may have to adjust our schedule. We may have things that we're not doing that is not what Christ would have us do in showing love. And we may have other things we need to put in place. We organize Wednesday night so that you could come to dinner at 5:15, that you could go to chapel at 6:15, and then at 7 or 7:15, you could go to meetings and have study groups, and so we can all be together and have fellowship and welcome one another and do the work of the church and worship together and equip ourselves. This is what the early church did. And this is what early Methodists did, and we're trying to do. We may have to adjust how we use our spaces, adapt our traditions to make people from the outside feel more welcome. Our worship time, our coffee time, and our classes are not just for us. Can somebody say amen? Amen. But they're for those we would welcome. Our goal should be, with sincerity, not a quota that we try to fill, not politics, not philosophy, but just true friendship and welcome as a human being. I'm so tired of politics and philosophy and activism. Can't we just love our neighbor? Can't we just become friends with people of different races and truly mean it and not do it just because it's what we're supposed to do, because we really care and because Jesus cares? Sorry. I guess as some people said, I got to be careful not meddling. One of my favorite verses is Revelation 3:30, and it says, Jesus is standing at the door and knocking. He wants to come in, and he wants to have fellowship with you and me. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him, and he with me. This is Jesus' radical hospitality, but we have to welcome him in, and then we have to welcome others into our lives, into our homes, into our space. And then they will see Christ's love, and they will know his forgiveness, and they will know his salvation, and they will know they are accepted. Amen.